Dallas, Fort Worth. Live from the KATH 910 AM studios in Las Colinas and broadcasting across North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network, this is the Good News Show.
And good afternoon, and thank you so much for tuning in to the Good News Show here on the Guadalupe Radio Network on our local stations, 910 AM and 1140 AM as well. My name is Cecily Anderson, and I am here filling in for Dave Palmer. Last week, we had Julian Pacino, our general manager of KCPP. He filled in, and then this week it is me, and Joe Loney is producing, so thank you so much to him for doing that today. And Merry Christmas, everyone. I should have started with that, but Merry Christmas. We're in the Christmas season at last. After preparing, we had Advent, Christmas comes, and we get to continue celebrating this beautiful season. And I don't know about you all, but sometimes it's kind of hard to keep those celebrations going because you go into any store. I was at a Walmart on Christmas Eve, because we ran out of something inevitably. But we were at a Walmart and they were putting up like Valentine's Day and St. Patrick's Day things. And I was like, oh my goodness, can we have this celebration a little bit longer of our Savior's birth? But hopefully I'm praying that you all are able to do some things in your parish communities or even in your own families to keep that celebrating going. I know years ago when my was younger, my family, before we were Catholic, actually, my mom knew that it was a tradition to keep the season of Christmas going for a while. And we did the 12 days of Christmas after Christmas, and it was really exciting and fun. So there's lots of ways that we can continue celebrating our Savior's birth. But I hope that you had a wonderful Christmas and a great start to 2026. Today on the Good News Show, we have a couple of exciting segments that we're going to have in the next hour. The last part of the show, I'm excited to welcome one of our coworkers, Keith Downey, who is our media specialist here at the Guadalupe Radio Network. He is handling a lot of our digital media. And he and I are going to talk a lot about social media, kind of from the perspective of we're going into this new year. And I'm sure if you have maybe an iPhone, I'm sure Androids do something similar where they kind of sum up how much screen time you've had. You can find out how much your phones and social media might be ruling your lives and maybe how you can use it better in the new year. And then also how the Guadalupe Radio Network is using social media. Because obviously, if you're listening to me right now, you're listening on your radio, on the app. But it's not the same as social media. And now the GRN is really just trying to find where people are. And people are on their phones a lot and scrolling through social media. And so Keith is going to talk about what he's been doing to try to, you know, really bring some goodness, to bring the good news to our doom scrolling on social media. So I'm excited about that conversation. So please stick around for that for the second half of the show. Before that, we are going to play an interview that Dave did with the renowned speaker Jason Everett, who is coming to St. Francis of Assisi in Frisco, thanks to the CPLC, to talk on Monday, January 12th, and to the doubleheader talk he's going to be doing, and it's for parents and for teens. And he did this interview, and we aired it last week during Julian's show, but Dave and I talked before he went on break that it was just such a good interview, and it's such a good event that is happening because they're going to be covering some really hot button issues that we really wanted to air it again so that if you didn't hear it then, you hear it now, and maybe you're encouraged to go and sign up for this event. So we're going to play that in about 15 minutes. But before all that, I want to chat with Joe a little bit because there's a lot going on, even though I see a lot of memes online talking about how this time between Christmas and New Year's, you're kind of confused, like, what day is it? What's happening?
Because it's no one has any idea what's going on.
Because most things are closed. Like, most things are closed.
A lot of businesses are like, hey, we're wrapping up the end of the year. We're getting ready to do, you know, inventory, yes, all that kind of fun stuff.
And trying to make any phone calls to anywhere is, like, kind of useless right now. I'm just sending a lot of emails that are getting, like, you know, out of office. But we're here. GRN is here. We're here to talk a little bit about some things going on. But first off, Joe, did you have a good Christmas?
I did have a good Christmas. It was a first Christmas with our new son. My wife and I welcomed him this year. He is, still a little too young to kind of experience everything. But one thing we did was we went to the Christmas Light Park at St. Jude.
Oh, yes.
And it was a great experience that we had. And if you didn't get a chance to go this year, I would highly recommend when they do it, come around next year. I think they ran it for like 5 days. Mm-hmm. It was an awesome time for the kids.
Yeah, that's. I'm really glad that you mentioned that because they were sponsors of us, Christmas Joy Park, with Masango Osong. Dave actually went out there and did a live remote broadcast on the Friday evening. I think their first night that they did it. It was the weekend before Christmas. For several nights, they did this whole event. And as Joe has the testimony, it was really great. And it apparently was pretty busy, too, which I'm glad to hear.
It was packed. And it was so nice to, like, you know, help support local Catholics who are doing something instead of just going to the drive show light park that some random parking lot has, which is great and all, and it's fun, but it had a little bit more some of that Catholic flair to it.
More of the reason for the season sort of stuff. Yeah, no, definitely. And honestly, some of those places around town, they're great, but they get so overpacked too anyway, and it gets a little bit crazy where, again, you're supporting something local.
It was great. It was at St. Jude. They had a great open field that you can kind of walk. The kids could run around. It was awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah, that was actually one of the last things Dave did before officially going on vacation. He did that live broadcast on the Friday, so hopefully you heard it. And if you missed the event this year, make sure that you go to it next year, because I think every year it's just growing and growing, and I think it should become part of your family's holiday tradition. So that's super cool. I also had a great Christmas. It was a very different one. We decided, my family and I, to leave the area because I'm one of those, like, we're all one of those people that, like, if you stay, we will end up filling our time so much. And it was very much, we all felt that God was calling us to do a little bit more resting, because if we stayed in town, we'd find some Christmas party to go to, something to take part in. I'm
going to
decorate the church.
I got to go pick this up at the office.
Exactly.
Whatever.
And all those things are good things. But sometimes when you realize that you've been running a little bit hairy, that you might need some space. And so we decided just to go to Amarillo, of all places. Let me tell you, every time I told people we were going to Amarillo, they're like, why are you going to Amarillo? And I said, well, we wanted to get away that was not too far of a drive, but a decent drive, because we love a road trip. Go out there, got an Airbnb, got to go to Palo Duro, got to go to the cathedral for Christmas Mass, which was very fun, and just spend some quality time really just sitting together, you know, in the Airbnb, talking, watching movies, playing games. It was a lot of fun and very restful, which is sometimes something we lack at this time of the year. especially I would say the whole culture really struggles with this too, because you're trying to fit in everything for Christmas in like 2 days. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, we as Catholics, again, can keep celebrating, keep it going. My young adult group, we're having a Christmas party on New Year's Eve. We're calling it the new Christmas party, because we're going to, you know, ring in the new year and celebrate Christmas.
I will say, on the quest, Father Sam said, he brought up a great point, and he said, Christmas Day, the octave is one giant day, and it goes till January 1st, and then the first of the year, that's when the new day starts. Mm. And so it was kind of a thing, was like, this entire time is Jesus's birth, and it hits you on that new day, 2026. Holy day of obligation, and then it kind of sets you off on a right foot, which I think was I'd never heard it before.
Yeah, that's really, I like it. I don't think I've ever heard that either, but that makes sense, because you're like, you're feasting and celebrating, and then bam, new year.
it was the whole day celebration is all the octave. Everything was celebrating Christmas, and then suddenly you go until the January 1st, and that's the new day.
That's awesome. I have hopes that, like, as a culture, we can come back to that. You know, even if in small communities and pockets that you start celebrating, we start celebrating that way again. You know, proper Advent season and go properly into the Christmas celebration.
I will say, it was so nice seeing in my neighborhood the amount of homes that still left their Christmas lights on, still left their Christmas tree on. And it wasn't just like they left them on the house and they didn't take them to the weekend. They were still on. Mm. They were still like actively taking care of it, which I think was pretty awesome.
That is good. We love to see that. Yeah, mine are not going to be coming down at least until January 6th, probably. And then honestly, because of how organized we are, it might be a little bit longer than that unintentionally. But again, I hope everyone had a wonderful Christmas. And again, lots of parishes do things where, again, you and your communities, we can do things to keep celebrating this season of Christmas and this octave, as Joe was saying. A couple of other things to mention. It is car raffle season.
It's on our doorstep, right?
It is here. We had our soft launch a couple weeks ago, right before Christmas, and maybe some people had some car raffle tickets in their stocking this year. But we are officially doing the hard launch this Friday. So this Friday, January 2nd, we hit the ground running. It's Dave's very first day back in the office, and he gets up and does a kickoff show. So we're going to be talking to folks from around our GRN family, San Antonio, Houston, Midland, all that, to talk about what their efforts are going to be to go out and sell car raffle tickets and how you can be involved. And speaking of how you can be involved, there's a lot of ways, actually. So here in North Texas, again, we have a lot of fun with this, and we are everywhere. In the next 7 weeks, you are going to hear Dave and I's voices a lot on the radio from all over the Metroplex, and Julian as well. So some of the things that you can help with is, first off, just keep listening to Catholic Radio. There's going to be opportunities for you to call in and get car raffle tickets. Dave and I do live remote broadcasts at least 2 a week, usually. Sometimes we do them from restaurants. Sometimes we do them from stores or other businesses, good Catholic businesses. And usually if you call in and buy your tickets during that hour, there might be a little something that you could win in addition to getting the car raffle tickets and supporting Catholic Radio. So make sure you're listening for those remote broadcasts. They're a lot of fun. You also then get a little bit more introduced to some of our local Catholic businesses. Some of them are sponsors of us and some of them are not. I think the first one that we're having is actually on Friday. I want to say, if I'm thinking right, if I can pull up my calendar and make sure. Yes, at 5 p.m. on Friday, we'll be at Porter's Army Navy, which is one of our favorite ones to do. The Steve and Cindy Porter are amazing. They have this Army Navy surplus store. It has so many fascinating things. We go out there. They usually offer up some beautiful gift, like it's been jewelry in the past and other things. You can get that potentially if you enter a mini raffle by calling in and buying your tickets during that hour. So basically listen to Catholic Radio. But of course, you're also going to see us not just during the weekdays. You're not just going to hear us. You're going to see us out at your parishes. We try to go to as many parishes as physically possible in the next 7 weeks. And Julian will be doing the same for some of the further west ones in the Diocese of Fort Worth. And Dave and I handle more of the Dallas and then kind of the central part of the Metroplex. So you're going to see us, and including this weekend, we will be at three parishes: Holy Family of Nazareth in Irving, Mary Immaculate in Farmers Branch, and St. Jude Chapel in downtown Dallas. And so but one of those parishes, if that's your parish home or you're planning to be there this weekend, you're going to see Dave or I or one of our volunteers selling raffle tickets. I keep saying car raffle, but maybe there's people listening have no idea like what the car is, and what is happening.
It's like a car raffle. What is it?
Car raffle.
Like,
I'm talking about it because I'm so used to it.
2000 Honda?
Yeah. What is it? Yeah, it's like, honestly, 2000 Honda would be pretty great. But no, it's going to be a 2026 Mercedes-Benz GLB 250. That's a compact SUV.
And that's in night black.
It's a fabulous looking car. There are some pictures on our website. You can go to grnonline.com/raffle. You can buy tickets now if you would like to. And so that is the car that we are raffling off. And it's February, and I should not try to say what date it is, but it is mid-end of February.
February 20th is the drawing.
So you'll have to buy your tickets the week before that, and then we'll do the drawing live on the air, and someone's going to win that car. And why do we do a car raffle? It's kind of random. Why is a Catholic radio station doing a car raffle? Well, it is something that the GRN tried years ago because January and February is a slow time for nonprofits. Every nonprofit knows this. It's a slow time because right before that, you have everyone at the end of the year, the Christmas spirit, trying to get the tax, deductibles in, all those sorts of things. And suddenly everyone's kind of all Christmas out, all donated out. And so this is a fun way that we can engage the community to help keep Catholic Radio on the air. And it's been very successful for us. And that's thanks to you who is listening right now and who are at the parishes who buy tickets. So tickets are one for $25, or you can do a bundle of five for $100. We also really encourage people to pay it forward, to not just buy tickets for yourself, but to buy tickets for your friends, for your family members, maybe even for the deacons or pastors, first responders, teachers, people in your life who might need a new car or just deserve a little bit more luxury. So you can, again, go to our website or just listen for us to be on the air or when we're at your parish. And if you don't know if we're going to come to coming to your parish, you can always reach out and ask us. And if we're not, maybe we can work it out that we can come. We would love to come. And if you'd like to volunteer in any way, we'd also love that. You can volunteer by going out and talking at parishes and selling the raffle tickets, or you just email me and I will send you a packet of raffle tickets and some instructions, and you can just sell them directly to your friends and family members, to your Bible Bible study, you know, mm-hmm. members, whoever it may be. We call those our raffle wranglers.
And I will say it's still the Christmas season, so yes. You can still give gifts.
Epiphany, Feast of Epiphany on January 06th. That's a great time to give gifts as well. So if you want to figure out how you can volunteer, or if you want to be a raffle wrangler, please feel free to email us, kath@grnonline.com. kath@grnonline.com. That is how you can reach me. I've long since given up trying to have people spell my first name. It's a little too hard for everyone. I totally get it. So the KATH one will go to Dave and I, and we'll see that email and we'll get back to you. So if you want to volunteer in any way with Car Raffle, that is how you do it. Before we go to this interview with Jason Everett, I just wanted to talk really quickly because I feel like the Catholic world has been united in the last few days in prayer for a few different people. And I wanted to mention that really quickly, just because if you haven't heard, I would love to have you participate in this prayer. If you're familiar with Catholic speaker Paul J. Kim, who has come to the Diocese of Fort Worth and the Diocese of Dallas many times over the years. He's actually in the Diocese of, he's in Austin. Yes, he's down in Austin. He is a renowned Catholic speaker. He's been speaking for a long time to youth, to young adults, very engaging. I think he does rapping and stuff like that. He's a very fun guy. His son, Micah, is on life support right now. And that happened right before Christmas, a few days before Christmas. And it's definitely one of those situations where they need a miracle for him to survive. He's holding on. He's fighting back. Some things are improving. Some things are not. You can follow him on Instagram or any other social media platform to get the updates. But I just wanted to invite everyone who's listening right now to join in prayer for Micah Kim. Specifically, they're asking for Archbishop Fulton Sheen's intercession. And so I'm going to say this prayer, and I would like to ask you all to be praying for Micah, maybe do some fasting for him in the next few days. But when I tell you that basically every Catholic speaker or a famous Catholic you might know has been posting about this, it's like everyone. And so let's be a united church in prayer in this. And I'd also add, since we're about to play an interview with Jason Everett, his son also just had a very bad diagnosis with cancer. So pray for him as well. There's a lot of people we need to pray for. There's always lots of things happening in our church, but what a beautiful thing that all of us can unite together and ask for intercession. So I'm going to do this prayer for the intercession of Venerable Fulton Sheen for little Micah, and we'll pray together in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Eternal Father, you alone grant us every blessing in heaven and on earth. Through the redemptive mission of your divine Son, Jesus Christ, and by the working of the Holy Spirit, if it be according to your will, glorify your servant, Archbishop J. Fulton Sheen, by granting the favor I now request through this prayerful intercession for the miraculous healing of Micah. I make this prayer confidently through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. That prayer again is on Instagram, on Paul J. Kim's Instagram, and probably many other places now at this point. So please follow along on the story and pray for him and also for Jason Everett's son. There's lots of people to pray for. It's just beautiful that we can all do it together. And it's also a wonderful thing to see the witness of these families who are going through some really hard times, but seeing the witness of their faith in this hardship, because our Lord does weep with us and he stands with us. So that didn't mean to kind of bring everything down a little bit, but that's the reality, is that while we are celebrating and rejoicing, there's a lot of hardship going on. There's a lot of families going through a lot of hard things. But thanks be to God, we have the joy of the Lord, which is everlasting. And so even in those really hard moments, we can still be celebrating a little bit. So without further ado, I'd like to play this interview that Dave did with Jason Everett, all about his double feature talk that's happening Monday, January 12th at St. Francis of Assisi Parish in Frisco. I hope that you come to this event and you're inspired by this interview that Dave did. And we'll go to a break, and after that, we'll be back with Keith Downey to talk all about social media in the new year.
And so happy to have on the phone with me renowned chastity speaker Jason Everett. It's been a while since I've talked to him. He has been traveling a lot. Of course, he has spoken to thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people, especially young people, on the issue of chastity. And he is coming to Frisco. The event is going to be Monday, January 12th. I have talked to the folks at the Catholic Pro-Life community about this. And this is going to be a big event. You know, St. Francis of Assisi Parish in Frisco, 8,000 El Dorado Parkway in Frisco, holds about 1,200 people. It's a big, big parish. The tickets are $25. You can get them at chastity.com. And this is a double feature. Jason's going to be speaking. First topic is purified, and then also gender and the theology of your body. And this is a great way to discover the beauty of God's plan for human life. And love, a life-changing event for teens and adults. So anybody 13 and over. And again, chastity.com/purified. And also the event includes Eucharistic Adoration and the Sacrament of Reconciliation. So Jason Effort, after that introduction, thanks so much for joining me. How are you?
No, thanks for having me on. Doing well.
Yeah, so tell me about this. I understand you've been traveling doing this double feature, and why these two topics together? And maybe you can give us a little bit of a preview of these two talks, Purified and then also Gender and the Theology of Your Body.
Yeah, well, over the past 25 years or so, I've been traveling around the world, kind of talking about God's plan for human love and sexuality, and doing a lot of chastity talks to high schools, the universities. And just in the last 5 or 10 years or so, there's been such a demand for answers, not only in terms of our sexuality as what we do with that, but sexuality in terms of what that means as male and female, the whole question of gender. So many Catholics have friends or maybe even family members who I identify as trans and aren't quite sure, okay, how do we speak into this subject? How do we best support these individuals without compromising what the church teaches? Are we supposed to use a pronoun or not? And so people are asking, like, how are we supposed to address this with charity at the same time as clarity? And so that's the second part of the presentation. The first one is a chastity talk. We invite the parents to come with the teens because the parents are the primary sex educators, not me or the principal or the pastor. And but the talk is directed to the young people. And essentially what it is it's kind of like marriage preparation when it should be happening like 10 years before the wedding instead of 10 weeks before the wedding. So helping them to distinguish what healthy relationships look like, you know, why to practice chastity, how to start over if you've made mistakes, why to stay away from things like pornography and how to break free from that, why to practice modesty, how far is too far, just kind of tackling these questions the young people are wrestling with. And then we take a break and kind of pivot over to the topic of gender and diving into that whole subject with, you know, sensitivity and compassion, but at the same time, clarity of what the church teaches on this. And then we wrap up the evening with the time of Eucharistic Adoration and the Sacrament of Reconciliation for the whole family. So instead of just being a little motivational talk, it's kind of a miniature retreat for the whole family to break open these tough subjects that many parents aren't sure how to address with their teens. Well, you know, we can address it, and that can help to open up those lines of communication.
Tell us about the addition of Eucharistic Adoration and also the Sacrament of Reconciliation and how that kind of fits in. And I should mention that this is about a 3.5-hour event, begins at 6 o'clock and goes till 9:20, 9:30. So how is it formatted?
Well, we've got the chastity talk first. That goes about 90 minutes. Then we'll take a little break for 15 or so, dive back in on the gender presentation, which runs about an hour. And then we've got a half hour of prayer. And we have that time of adoration and confession because, you know, chastity doesn't really begin until we learn that we can't do this on our own and that we'll kind of live as we pray. The whole, you know, goal of Christian prayer is to learn how to love. And so we're spending that time, you know, bringing our hearts and our struggles to God in adoration, and then also being able to go to confession. Even if it's been 10 weeks or 10 years or 30 years since you've gone, you forgot the prayers to say it, that's fine. Just show up and the priest will walk you through the whole thing. And so that way, instead of just getting a motivational speech and some free books, you can go home that night with your baptismal innocence restored to you. And so the things that the sacraments can achieve that public speakers cannot. And so the idea is to blend together the devotion of the church with the timeless teaching of the church.
When we refer to theology or body, of course, we think of theology of the body by St. John Paul II, whom I know you have great admiration for. Is the theology of the body from our late Holy Father, is that incorporated into this?
Absolutely, because you know one of the things that St. John Paul II taught in there is that the human body is the only thing that God ever made that makes a person visible. You know, animals have a body, but they're not a personal being, and angels are a personal being, but they don't have a body. So the human body alone makes a person visible. And the reason this is important is that, you know, you are your body. It's not something you have like you have a pair of jeans. You know, if you say I'm going to the store, well, you know, your body's going to the store as well. And the challenge is our culture now has untethered our sexual identity from our bodies. But if it's not anchored to our body, then what will it attach to? Well, typically our personality, but there are as many personalities as persons, and you'll end up with this endless spectrum of gender identities. And so what we've really seen is this disintegration of man, that if male doesn't really mean anything, then neither does man or husband or father or priest or family, like everything becomes disintegrated. And so John Paul gave us this integrated vision of man, and it's not shaming or blaming a person who's wrestling with gender dysphoria, but just affirming in them that you don't have to hurt your body in order to be your authentic self.
Interesting that he wrote this, late 70s, or at least he presented it late 70s, early 80s in the first part of his pontificate, where a lot of this didn't seem to have hit yet. Do you think this was prophetic on his part, that he really foresaw perhaps even some of the issues that were not as prominent back then?
I don't think there's any question about it, how prophetic this is. The Holy Spirit will give the church what she needs when she needs it. And it's as if we got these answers in seminal form before the question was even asked. I mean, he knew that this fundamental question of the century is like, just what does it even mean to be human? And so thanks be to God, the theology body does that. It really dives into that question of like, who am I and how should I live? And the beauty is that it doesn't teach so much from a, here's a list of rules, why you got to obey them. It's like, no, who are we? What is it we really ache for? And do the empty promises of this world really satisfy those things? And so that's one of the beauties of John Paul's teaching. He doesn't come at it from an angle of guilt and shame and a litany of rules and regulations and you know, prudish Victorian attitudes towards human sexuality. It's no, realizing that chastity is part of the gospel. It's actually good news, and we should love this virtue because it frees us to love, and it frees us to know if we're authentically being loved. And so ultimately, this chastity talk isn't some, you know, guilt-ridden diatribe that makes kids feel horrible about themselves. No, it's like these are the demands of authentic human love. This is what we are created for.
Yes, Jason Everett is my guest. He's coming to town. Frisco will be the place Monday, January 12th, and tickets are on sale now. This is two presentations, Purified and also Gender and the Theology of Your Body. It's a chance to discover the beauty of God's plan for human love, a life-changing event. Teens and adults, parents can come, like he mentioned before. Tickets are $25. And you can purchase them at Jason's website, chastity.com/purified, chastity.com/purified. Doors are going to open at 5:30, and the event will be from approximately 6 until 9:20, and will also include Eucharistic Adoration and the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And Jason, I'm curious, now that you've had a chance to, you know, bring this to various other places around the country and perhaps the world, what kind of response do you get both from the young people, the teenagers, and their parents after they've heard this presentation, these presentations?
Well, I mean, the response from the parents is like, well, where were you when I was 16? they just weren't given the message. It was just a bunch of thou shalt nots, and they were like, well, that doesn't work for me. Whereas for the young people, I gave that chastity talk, I remember, at a high school in New York, and I told the kids, hey, you know, if you guys need to talk afterwards, you know, I'll be here to listen, and I'll be standing over there. And the kids formed a line 7 hours long.
Oh, my goodness.
And we were there till 5:30 at night, and they would just say, Jason, I've never said this to anyone before, but... And then they just pour their hearts out. I mean, they're starving for this message because the world has offered them lust and told them it's going to bring them satisfaction, and then you binge on that, and you wonder why you just feel like you're starving afterwards. And so the young people are bombarded from social media to pornography to you name it, and they just know there's got to be a better way, but... just because they know they want real love, it doesn't mean they know how to find it. In fact, they surveyed college students around the country and asked them, what would you rather have, a hookup or a traditional romantic relationship? And college males, as well as females, were twice as likely to say that they would much rather have a traditional romantic relationship than a hookup. But they were more likely to hook up than to go on a date, because they wanted something, but they didn't know how to get there. And so we're trying to give them that roadmap to authentic love so they don't settle for less.
I'm sure it comes up in the gender talk, but I think, you know, I can only imagine how tough it is for young people today when somebody in their class, you know, was Bob and now he wants to be referred to as Sally, and he says, you know, different, you know, use these pronouns, and, you know, they want to be compassionate. They don't want to make a scene. But what is your advice on that? I mean, when kids, and I think most kids and, you know, people in schools have been in this situation, what do they do?
Yeah, well, I mean, what I would recommend are a few things. Is one, you want to hold on to their hand with one hand and hold on to reality with the other hand, and don't let go of either one. And what I mean by that is the world will tell you, look, if you don't affirm these individuals and approve whatever they want to do, then you're a hateful, transphobic bigot. So are you going to reject them or are you going to accept them? But this is a false binary. There's another option. It's called accompaniment. It means you walk with them in truth and in love. And what that looks like is that it's not about some silver bullet argument, you know, to convince them that they're wrong. It's listening to them with the ears of Christ. I mean, one boy told me he was trans and we started talking, had a great conversation. And I said, well, tell me about you. And he said, well, I got two older sisters, two younger sisters. And he's like, and they can do nothing wrong. My parents love them. They fawn over them. But he's like, I'm the black sheep of the family. Nothing I can do is ever good enough for my parents. I said, well, do you think if you were born a girl, you would have been loved the way your sisters are loved? And he said, I know that I would have been. And I said, well, this is it. Like, your ache isn't to be female. Your ache is to be loved. And you see that as the pathway to love. And so I think so often this gender dysphoria is a roadmap towards their healing. I mean, oftentimes they're dissociating from their own sexuality as a trauma response. And if we know how to listen well and ask good questions gently, we can guide them back to the truth of who God created them to be. But it's a process. It's not about, I'm going to win this argument. It's more about listening with love than anything else. And so it can involve some difficult situations. Mom, dad, I'm non-binary and I want you to call me they, them. And okay, how do we navigate through this with this kid while we're still holding on to reality, but accompanying them so that they don't just kind of reject us and run off and jump on puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones. So it requires a lot of pastoral sensitivity and understanding without having to compromise the truth.
I'm sure social media and, you know, this is the kind of, it isn't going anywhere. And it's, what is your comment on that as it relates to these issues and how it's impacting young people?
Oh, well, absolutely. That's kind of at the heart of so much of it. There was a very liberal researcher from Brown University named Dr. Lisa Littman, used to work for Planned Parenthood, and she noticed a trend, and she called it rapid onset gender dysphoria. And it was that there were all these adolescent females coming from middle class, typically Caucasian families that had no pre-existing history of childhood gender dysphoria, spending a ton of time on social media, and had a couple friends that identified as trans or non-binary. And before you know it, pop, 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 there are 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 girls in the same group all identifying as trans or whatever. And Dr. Lisa Littman said, this is rapid onset gender dysphoria. There's a social contagion piece to this. And that's why if you look before the invention of Instagram, it was very rare. And it was typically middle-aged men or young boys. And we saw this massive reverse in the sex ratio where just thousands of thousands upon more women. And it was almost like what cutting was, what eating disorders were, this answer to the distress of living in your body. But thanks be to God, so many people are realizing this wasn't the answer. If you go to reddit.com and type in hashtag DTrans, you'll find more than 50,000 detransitioners screaming from the rooftops of like, look, we tried the puberty blockers. We tried the surgeries. It didn't work. Get the kids off the operating tables. Thankfully, countries are listening. Finland, Norway, Sweden, I mean, Amsterdam, England, France, they're changing their public policies on this because it was all based on very low quality evidence to begin with. There's a better answer than sterilizing these kids and telling them that they can change their sexual identity. They need to be walked with truth and love, instead of thinking that their body needs to be harmed for them to be their authentic selves.
Yes, very nice. Jason, really great information. Thank you so much. Jason Everett coming to Frisco. The event is going to be Monday, January 12th. Doors open at 5:30. It's from 6 to 9:20 at St. Francis of Assisi Parish in Frisco. And like I said, it's a big church, and so get your tickets. It's likely going to, I'm sure it's going to sell out. So tickets are only $25. Go to chastity.com/purified. Chastity. jasonkennedy.com/purify. And again, this is for teens and adults ages 13 and older. Jason's two presentations will be Purified and also Gender and the Theology of Your Body. And this is just a quick little preview of what he'll be talking about, a whole lot more on Monday, January 12th. Jason, thank you so much. Look forward to welcoming you to North Texas and appreciate your time today.
Thanks for having me on. God bless.
Thank you.
Get ready for an unforgettable night of celebration and purpose. The 28th Annual Bishop's Gala Celebrating Love 2026 will take place on Saturday, January the 17th from 6 to 11 p.m. at the Omni Dallas Hotel. Enjoy dinner, auctions, and dancing to live entertainment by Kool & the Gang. Your support benefits Catholic Charities Dallas programs that serve the most vulnerable in the community. Don't miss your chance to see Kool & the Gang at the 28th Bishop's Gala. For more information, visit ccdallas.org.
And welcome back to the Good News Show. This is Cecil Anderson filling in for Dave Palmer today on this Christmas Monday that we have here. And as we're about to prepare to go into the new year, I hope you enjoyed that interview that Dave did with Jason Everett. Again, remember to keep his ministry and also his son in your prayers, as he also just recently had a diagnosis that can be a little bit scary. So pray for them. But I'm excited for our final segment here on the Good News Show to talk all about social media. And everyone's probably like, oh no, not social media. We don't want to talk about that. But I think it's a really good and productive conversation to have, to not only to kind of just evaluate not only how we use social media, but also how people like the Guadalupe Radio Network are using social media to get the good news out there. And there's no better person to bring on to talk about this than our very own Keith Downey, who is GRN's media specialist, to talk all things social media in the new year. Keith, thank you so much for joining us, and Merry Christmas.
Yes, Cecil, Merry Christmas to you and everybody else listening as well. Always great to say that for as long as we can until what, February 2nd.
I know. I love to give people, like, it's so funny when you go to the grocery store or something and everyone's saying Happy New Year, and I'm like, yeah, Merry Christmas. They're all like, they're probably thinking, oh, this poor girl, she's so confused. But yes, right. Merry Christmas. Did you have a good Christmas with your family?
It was pretty good. We kind of all got sick.
Oh, no.
As you can hear, my voice is a little bit muffled still, but we're climbing out. And the best part about it is that even though we might have missed Christmas Mass, we've got the whole season of Christmas to celebrate. So, I'm happy about that.
Yes. No, it's a good thing that Christmas is just not just one day, and you can keep celebrating for many more days. So hopefully everyone's feeling better pretty soon here. But let's talk a little bit about social media, because I know for me, when the new year comes around, of course, we're all thinking about our New Year's resolutions, and something that pops up. Like, I just opened up my laptop the other day, and my little screen time thing says, you were on your screen this many hours every day. I was just like, I don't want to see these things. Because let's be honest, most of the time, for many of us, that screen time is probably equaling to social media of some way, shape, or form, whether it's YouTube or you're on Instagram, whatever it may be. So let's talk a little bit about how can we as Catholics, actually use social media better. Like, what are some of the things, whether it be for evangelization or maybe like just how we can be more prudent with how we use it? What are some of the first things that come to your mind?
Well, one of the first things that has come to my mind, and it's kind of funny in a way, I was on Facebook the other day, and you know how it tells you, like, oh, this time last year, here's some pictures that you shared. Well, this update was like from 18 years ago.
Oh my goodness.
And I was just astonished. I'm like, wow, social media has been around like basically 20 years. That's wild. So, the challenges have changed, I guess, with anything, but with social media back then, it was completely different than what it is today, obviously. And even then, like even 10 years ago, Instagram was completely different on what was being shared. And now we have video, short form videos. Like, what is next? So how do we, like, going back to your question, how do we as Catholics use social media? You know, that's a good question. I think, and this kind of goes across the board on any social media, I think we always have to ask ourselves if we're going to be engaging, if we're going to be posting something. As a Catholic, really, there should be, I think, three things we should ask ourselves before posting. So here's a few things that we should look at. First, is what I'm about to post true? not just maybe emotionally true, but, you know, is this actually true? Which I feel like most of us are going to pass this one. We're pretty, I think, as Catholics in general, we're very good at that. Second, now this one might be a little more challenging. Is it charitable?
Ooh.
So even though we might be right, how we say something kind of does matter. And as anybody knows, especially when you're sending text messages or just text in general, things can kind of get misunderstood. Maybe, you know, there's sarcasm behind it, which is not good. Or, and then someone believes it to be true. So being charitable is very, very important. And then lastly, I think, you know, asking yourself, is what I'm about to post on social media, is it helpful right now? You know, some things are true and charitable. We know this, but maybe not so helpful in that moment. You know, it could be an accident or someone's posting like, oh no, my child is doing this. And then someone goes and maybe true like, hey, you shouldn't be doing that, or you shouldn't have your child playing, you know, with a ATV, whatever the case may be, but that's not helpful in that moment. Mm-hmm. Right. So I feel like if a post or an engagement of, you know, if it fails one of those three, probably should take a moment and maybe not post that. So yeah, those are just kind of my three questions I'd probably reflect on before posting.
That's really good though, because I don't know, I just feel, first off, I think we as Catholics, we do have some responsibility when we're out and about in life of being true, charitable and helpful. You know, I think you could say that in, you know, outside of the digital world, you know, they will know us by our love, is what Jesus said. And so how we conduct ourselves out and about, it does say something in our communities. It does say something. I'm not saying to put on a mask of who you are and to pretend like that you're perfect all the time, but just simply that it's good. And should, are we helping, are my actions helping or hindering someone in their faith journey? You know, is something kind of not to spend your time scrutinizing all the time, like, oh no, I cut that person off in traffic, they're now probably never going to come to know Jesus. Like, no, that's not what we're saying here. But I think it's something to reflect on. I think even St. Thomas Aquinas kind of has the thought that, you know, not only will we, are we responsible for our, you know, the sins we commit, but also if we lead others into sin as well. And that's a really big important thing. So when you kind of were talking about posting on social media, is it true, charitable, and helpful? Those are very important things too, because how we point, especially like obviously most of us have very little influence, right, in the grand scheme of things. We just have influence over our friends maybe and the people that we follow, like our grandparents or cousins and you know, maybe your second grade piano teacher is on social media. But at the end of the day though, if they see something that they post, they're going to attribute that to you. And if, especially if they know that you're a Catholic, that you're a faithful person, and maybe what you've written is not true, charitable, or helpful, one of those things, that could be really a hindrance to them as well.
Right. Like, essentially, you know, many of us are like the only window into the Catholic faith. So if our friends, family, they see us posting something that's very contrary to our Catholic faith, then that kind of, that's the reflection that they're seeing, based on the Catholic faith. So we have to be very intentional on what we post and what we share. I think that's another thing too. Like, what are we sharing? Is it building up, the body of Christ, or are we sharing just something that maybe it's too reactionary, or maybe it's gossipy? Cause there, I mean, a lot of the stuff that we see is very, very close, if not already gossip, when it comes to whatever celebrities or just right. Random people that you see on. Yeah.
Yeah. It can be really, really bad. Yeah. It was making me think though about, you know, that being the window and the only evangelization someone might have. I remember when we're going again out of the digital world, let's go analog here for a second. When I was doing my graduation announcement, you know, card that you send out when you graduate, I was going to pick a Bible verse because that's what like my family did, put a Bible verse on this announcement. And I know it's going to friends and family members who are not practicing Catholics or not practicing Christians at all, maybe fallen quite far away from faith or never had it. And my mom says, you can pick your favorite Bible verse. She goes, but also just take a moment to think about what is a good Bible verse that you would want to tell some of these people that might be the only scripture they read this year or something? And so she made that very poignant. And so I'm like, that's something we can totally take into the digital world as all, especially since more and more so people are doing more digital Christmas greetings to have that something that like, hey, when you post about it, you know, I sent out a Christmas card finally after a couple years of not this year. My siblings and I, we sent out one and we added a little thing in there. Like, we're praying for you that you are, you know, God, you see what God is calling you to do this year. You know, and again, we're sending this to atheists in our list. So, you know, they may just say like, oh, roll their eyes. There's the Catholics again. But, you know, it's a touch point.
Right. And essentially you're planting that seed that maybe they won't look into it right away, but maybe they will the second time or the third time that they look at that card. We just don't know. And I think if we don't try, whether it's analog, like you said, or digital, you know, whether we're posting really good Catholic content or sharing some other great Catholic content, once again, that might be the only touch point that they get of the Catholic faith. So why wouldn't you want to do that? Right. Why wouldn't you want to be evangelizing in that manner? Because it's, you know, because we've gone so digital, it's tough nowadays to be out in the world and do some really good evangelizing. Whereas now we have technology at our fingertips to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people probably listening are wondering, you know, okay, this is great. These are how we can, you know, post, how we can help evangelize to our communities. But then there's also the bit about social media that it can be a little detrimental to ourselves too, especially with the time that we sometimes spend on it. What are some of your recommendations as far as like building the good habits of how we use social media for ourselves? How to maybe avoid doom scrolling and things like that? Like, what do you recommend? Especially since this is your job, you have to work in social media a lot. So I'm curious to know how you handle it. Obviously you're having to do a lot of things to research and to, you know, to know what's going on in social media, but how can we have healthy boundaries with it?
Oh, wow. That is a great question. And yeah, I basically live perpetually online just because of that. It's a dirty job. Someone has to do it. I'm just kidding, obviously. But yeah, one of the most difficult things, and I think everybody that, you know, maybe their husband, wife out there, you know, you come home from whether it's work and you're exhausted and like things are just going crazy and you just need a moment to just calm down, maybe like take it down a notch. And the one thing that seems to do that is obviously your smartphone and just, you know, doom scrolling, like you said. So one thing that really has helped is really understanding the times that you do pick up your phone and to look. Like when you start realizing like, oh, why am I picking up my phone right now when my kids are like right there? Is it because I'm overwhelmed? Is it because I'm depressed? You know, there are some, you know, things that are just kind of hidden out of sight because we're so involved, we're so busy in life. We don't take a moment and be in silence and really just figure out like, what is the root cause of why I'm so attached to my phone? Some ways to kind of help eliminate that would be, well, maybe keeping smartphones out of our bedrooms. Maybe we have just, you know, a place where we can have screens. And then that's like the only place in the entire house that we have that. Otherwise, there maybe should be some clear times when devices are put away. So we usually have a rule that like after 6 p.m., no screens around, right? We're done with screens. We put them away. And that helps keep us be present with our children. Otherwise, you know, we don't want to be like attached and just see us do that. And then the time that they get phones, you know, it's going to be a long time, by the way. then they're going to be like attached to it because they saw their parents do that. We don't want that. Mm. So, you know, just, I think at the end of the day, you're just trying to wean yourself off of, you know, the addiction, if you may have one, to doom scrolling, as we keep calling it, because if we don't, then I think it affects our lives. I mean, we've seen a lot of these studies out there that depression, staying perpetually online on social media can cause depression. So
absolutely, and a lot of anxiety,
be silent
too.
Yeah, and anxiety, that's a huge one because we're so connected to what's going on in the world. When I don't think our body and our brain is meant to intake that much data. Like, really, what's going on around in our own area is probably the most we should be accounting for. Mm-hmm. So that those are just a few of things that pop into my head when talking about kind of preventative, or at least just ways to not be so attached to our phones.
Yeah, and starting with the why do I reach for my phone and what am I feeling in those moments? It has a lot to do with a lot of other different things. Same thing, like if you have a tendency of like, I reach for the ice cream when I'm having a bad day sort of thing, you know, it has similarities to kind of just recognize that. I remember talking to a gentleman once about how do we, you know, properly rest. And really, if you think about it, when you're doom scrolling, it's not really a resting time. You're like, oh, I'm just taking a break from all these other duties I have. I'm sitting down, I'm on Instagram for like 10 minutes watching reels. And it's actually not restful. Like, there are much more productive, restful things that we could be doing, whether it be, you know, sitting down and reading, sitting in silence for a little bit, maybe even doing some art or something like that. That's much more restful than scrolling on these social media platforms. But of course, we, you know, obviously, if we do what you need to do, to lessen the amount that you're on social media so that you can be more present in your life. But at the end of the day, we recognize that most of the world, that is where they are. And so the Guadalupe Radio Network, is trying to trudge forward and trying to meet people where they are, bring the gospel to them where they are. So I'm talking with Keith Downey right now, who is our media specialist for the GRN. He is talking about social media, and specifically, let's talk a little bit about how are we as the GRN using social media to serve people wherever they may be. Because what's great is that, you know, we have terrestrial radio stations. People listen to us in certain areas. We get to connect with the listeners that way, get to go out to parishes and things like that. But with social media, who knows? People are all over the world. You have some of those, you know, you get to see kind of some of that where people are coming from. But how are we using it to better the online world?
Yeah, I like to kind of reference it as almost its, you know, its own radio station. But instead of it being in, you know, in a specific area in Texas or around the country, it hits everybody around the entire world. And so we have about 2 or 3 seconds to catch someone's attention. That's literally how long we have to get someone that's engaged to continue watching. Maybe it's a clip from The Quest, or maybe Morning Joy, or The Spirit World. Like, what we try to do is try to give them just a snippet, something that might keep their interest. And obviously the Catholic faith, I mean, it's pretty interesting. That in itself makes my job so much easier on that end. But we're talking about people that probably would never come across, you know, the Catholic faith. A lot of the people that we tend to see are actually very intrigued. Maybe they don't seem so in the comments, but when you see like people that are returning after commenting and you see them following, and you realize that there's a lot of people that who do not know who Father Mike Schmitz is. Like, it's kind of crazy and wild, because we kind of know him as Catholics to be kind of one of the big names now today with the Bible in the Year podcast, Catechism in the Year podcast. So when we're able to, you know, produce clips from any of our shows and put them out there, it is pretty interesting. The algorithm, we always talk about the algorithm, it'll just send something to somebody, and they're not even looking for religion in general. But for whatever reason, this person that's out there, you know, looking through their feed, Monsignor Charles Pope pops into their feed, and they see something about him talking about marriage. And that in itself, just thinking out loud, that would be pretty jarring if I wasn't Catholic and I see now a Catholic priest talking about the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman, that which you don't hear anymore. And it's truth. And so it's just knowing that we're able to do that with the Guadalupe Radio Network, being kind of that radio signal out there. So, well, not radio signal, but, you know, the Wi-Fi signal out there for a lot of these people. It's really, it makes you feel like, wow, we're doing something really different and really, really good out there.
Yeah, and it's cool because it is interesting. There's a lot of people, I think, on social media platforms that are kind of lurkers, that they're just there, they're watching, and they're maybe not commenting always, but then there's those that do. And it's interesting just to see, like you said, people coming back, or you don't even know. We won't know the number or the names of all these people who just stumble across it and are just like, that's interesting, and kind of file it away. And maybe later on it's brought back up to them. I'm curious, though, because there's so much good and bad that can be done with social media. How do you discern how, like what we're sharing, how we're sharing, and, you know, kind of what the tone the GRN uses, and how to be, you know, kind of having those good boundaries of, not going too far, not sensationalizing, but also still grabbing people's attentions.
Yeah, I when it comes to creating content, obviously you don't want to be clickbaity to the point where like what you're posting is not exactly what you're promoting, right? Mm. That we obviously want to avoid that. But we have truth on our side, which is kind of shocking to the person that might be seeing or listening to what's being shared with them. And I think in that sense, that actually helps a lot because people are attracted to truth, especially now more than ever when within the last, you know, decade or so, a lot of, you know, organizations have been kind of force feeding a false narrative on a lot of things that are contrary to the Catholic faith and just life in general. And here we have the Guadalupe Radio Network holding steadfast to the truth. And a lot of times, you know, we have, like we have mentioned, you know, Morning Joy and The Quest makes it really easy because there's every once in a while we'll see snippets or we'll see like really hot moments that we think like, oh, this will be perfect to post on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. And it kind of what it does too, it kind of extends this conversation beyond the radio dial. So someone who might be on Instagram probably might not be able to listen to Guadalupe Radio Network. Yet the idea is, you know, we want them to tune in eventually, but this is their touch point to the Catholic faith and to the Guadalupe Radio Network. So I think you mentioned too, like meeting people where they are, and we know a lot of people are online. And so that's where we're meeting them.
Mm. We just have a couple minutes remaining here with you, Keith, the show. But first, we've talked a lot about our social media, but can you kind of give a rundown of where you can find the GRN? Because I bet a lot of people who are listening right now, A, didn't even know we had a social media because, you know, they're just like, oh, radio, we're not even thinking about that. And, you know, maybe how they can find us so that they can follow us, so that they can see all that we're doing, see some of these videos, these little snippets. And even people who listen on and off again to the Guadalupe Radio Network might be drawn in to hear more and be touched by something that one of our shows is saying. So give a little rundown of where you can find GRN online.
Yeah, great question. So we are pretty much everywhere. So we'll start with the ones that we know. So Facebook, you just need to search Guadalupe Radio Network and you'll find us. For Instagram, it's at GRN Online. And TikTok is the same thing, GRN Online. YouTube, same thing, GRN Online. You can see a trend here. We're on Rumble. We are on Twitch. If you don't know what Twitch is, it's basically a lot of times it's people streaming themselves playing video games, which is kind of funny because we are not playing video games. We are streaming our live shows. And so it's really great to see people that might be watching someone play Fortnite and they happen to catch The Quest and they're like, oh, I didn't know that there was Catholic shows here on Twitch. It's like, yeah, we're trying to cast that net wide and we are. So yes, if you can't find us, search at GRN Online on any of the social medias or Guadalupe Radio Network and you'll find us.
That's awesome. So make sure you follow us and hopefully we'll get a few more followers from this today. And again, maybe you already know all the truths of the Catholic Church. You know everything. But when you see a little video like that, like on Instagram or YouTube, it's really easy to share it to your friends and family too. Maybe you post it on your story or you send it to them directly so that you can influence them a little bit as well. And it's a low engagement sort of thing. You don't need it's not like a 20-minute video that they need to watch. It's a minute long video that they can watch and get a little bit of the truths of the faith in them. So make sure that you are engaging with us in that way as well. Keith, in our final couple minutes here, is there anything else that you would like to let people know about social media or any other recommendations as we go into this new year about how we can use social media well?
Sure. Oftentimes when we are having maybe arguments online, I think we just have to remember behind every comment, there is a real person behind that. And sometimes it's difficult to, you know, have to pass on making a comment, quit back. But we aren't talking to an algorithm. We're talking with someone with doubts, wounds, and hopes. And so having that mindset can change how you interact with people as a Catholic on social media. So thank you so much for having me on, Sissel. Merry Christmas to you, and Merry Christmas to everybody else out there and listening in on the Guadalupe Radio Network. It is so much fun to get to see you online. So we want to see you online. Make sure to visit us on any of the social medias, GRN Online.
Thank you so much, Keith, for joining us and giving us some wisdom on how we can personally better our use of social media, but also how the GRN is casting the net wider. And as you mentioned, we are going after souls, because every person, every name that you see on social media is a soul that we are trying to get into heaven. We're trying to populate heaven through all the means that we can. So thank you so much for that. And thank you to everyone who's been listening today on the Good News Show, the very last show of 2025. And next week, Dave Palmer will be back, and we will be in the thick of car raffle season. So make sure that you're constantly tuning in, because there's lots of great opportunities to get involved with the car raffle. Again, 2026 Mercedes-Benz GLB 250 is what we are raffling off in the next few weeks. So until next time, Merry Christmas and have a great new year.
Thanks for joining us for the Good News Show here on KATH 910 AM on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Please join us next week at the same time for the next Good News Show. KATH 910